God, we're so grateful that you have just lavished your love upon us, that you have called us your sons and your daughters, and we get to sit in your goodness and seek to know you better, seek to learn more about who you've called us to be. God, that there is no shame that we have to experience for wherever we are, but we get the gift of being better every day, of seeking you more every day. And when we stumble, you will pick us up. When we fall, you are there for us. For you go before us, you are behind us, and on either side. There is nowhere we can go where you are not. There is no one we can love that you do not. Teach us this morning, God. Lead us. We want to know you more. Send your Spirit upon us, God, to give us all the grace and all the love and all the passion and compassion to do the work of the gospel. For our world is hurting, and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about listening. As we've talked for the last couple weeks, Pastor Daniel and I got together a few months ago. Honestly, I don't even remember. When he preached, oh look, there's the graphic. How about that? Those guys are good up there. I know I've said it before. They're good. I know that Daniel and I met and talked a while back. It was funny, when we started this series, we had met so many months before that in the first of his sermons in the series, he started talking about, yeah, Pastor Brandon and I met, and we decided we wanted to focus on one thing with loving your neighbor. And I was sitting next to my mom over there, and I was like, I don't know what he's about to say, because I had kind of forgotten. And then he said, you know, being good listeners and listening, and I was like, yep, knew it. I knew it. I remember that conversation. Sometimes I get really caught up in the moment, and I forget about things before or behind. But we've been discussing loving our neighbors and that being good listeners is a really key element of that. And as I've been kind of wrestling with this loving your neighbor thought and how I wanted to talk about it in this series, I was just drawn to the book of 1 John. How could you not, right? I mean, 1 John talks over and over again about loving others. And in fact, John, whom Roger referenced earlier already, the disciple whom Jesus loved, according to the book of John, is how he refers to himself. He writes over and over again about how important it is to love your neighbor. This same disciple that realized this truth of in the beginning was the Word, this foundational element of who Jesus was, he knew Jesus so intimately. And yet he came to this conclusion, not yet, and therefore he came to this conclusion over and over again in his book. And I sat down, and as I was preparing for the sermon, I read all of 1 John. It's not that long, so don't like think I'm a hero or anything. It's not that much reading. But I just was struck by how many times, and I grabbed a few of them out just to start us off this morning. 1 John 2:4 says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person." Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble." Chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in action and truth." 3:24 says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in them. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And then 4:8 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." I remember it was almost like it was yesterday. It seems like a lifetime ago, but then in other ways it seems like it just happened. It was 15 years ago in this very space. My good friend Derek and I were working with the youth in Meridian. And we were so enamored by this idea of what would it look like to just love our neighbors relentlessly, fiercely, with everything we had. We were enamored by the spirit of John that we read in the gospel, by the spirit of Jesus that cared for folks who were uncareable. I don't even know if that's a word. I remember when we moved downtown and began Dat House, the wisdom that Derek had to introduce the key thought of humility into our ministry. I remember over and over again having discussions that we need to love our neighbors, but we ourselves need that love just as much. We ourselves need to receive it as much as we need to give it, because we're flawed. We've got problems. And loving our neighbor needs to be a two-way street, or else it probably won't work. I remember early on we had a group of visitors that came to do a work project in the neighborhood, and they were drawing with sidewalk chalk out in front of the house, the original Dat House on 1253 East Street. And one of them wrote on the column of the wall, "Lord, save these people." And I remember Derek promptly walking up and scratching out the word "these," because we didn't see a difference between us and our neighbors. We all needed saved. We all needed to be better. We all need to be loved. I really enjoy thinking about the concept that Daniel brought up a couple weeks ago, that loving God and neighbor are not two commands but one. For 1 John just said it in chapter 4, verse 8, God is love, and therefore we cannot separate the two. As we took this attitude into our neighborhood all those years ago, we quickly realized that there was a lot more that we could learn than we thought. We quickly realized that while our neighbors had flaws, our neighbors also were so loving and so thoughtful. They may be troubled and hurt and lost, but so were we. We were just as flawed, just as troubled, had just as many problems. We saw neighbors taking care of each other's needs in a way that we hadn't really experienced before. We saw people bending over backwards to support each other even though they had nothing. And sure, there was quarreling, there was problems, there was selfishness, but no more than in us. When we truly opened ourselves up to this gift of community, we realized that loving our neighbors meant also being loved by our neighbors. And that if it's not a two-way street, it doesn't work out so good. We've asked this question before. In fact, we've had a whole series about it a couple years ago. I don't know. Time gets really iffy when you try to think about 2020 and what was before that. I don't even remember. It's hard to say. But we talked about this "What Does Love Require of Me?" series. Do you guys remember that? "What Does Love Require of Me?" is a question we asked in this series for a while. I think one of the things that we landed on that is what really brought us to this moment this month with loving our neighbors is that love requires us to be good listeners. Love requires for us to listen to others and to truly hear them out, to truly hear what they're saying, to truly support them, to truly consider what they're saying, and not just listen ready with our next retort. But what I want to talk about today is that when you listen, you might not like what you hear. For listening to your neighbors is tough. Listening to your neighbors might cause you a few different problems, good problems, might I add. But I've just kind of laid out a few that I want to talk about this morning, because this is what love requires of us. Listening requires us to not always assume that we're right. That's tough. For some of us, it may be tougher than others, but it is tough. We want to be right, right? All of us generally think that we're right. If we didn't think we were right, we wouldn't be living the way we were living. I mean, it's just, I'm living in the way that I think is best for me because I'm a person and that's how we roll, right? Sometimes I've hurt people without even meaning to, with my best intentions, because I assumed that I was right and I didn't even hear out what they had to say. Listening means more than just listening to the words someone's saying, but it also means listening to yourself. It also means considering how the words that you are saying or what you are saying is affecting the person that you're speaking to. Maybe you didn't even mean to say something the way that you did, but it was perceived that way. And that's important. We have to consider each other and how we're working through this life, how we're living, how we're talking. Being a good listener, loving our neighbor, means to not always assume that we're right. Being a good listener and loving our neighbors may mean that some of our perceived, preconceived notions of others need to go. This may call you to dig deep into some of the things that you believe, some of your foundational beliefs. When you really listen and hear another's perspective, there may be others that are living way differently than you that are doing a good job. There have been so many neighbors that I've come in contact with over the years that I think that live a lot differently than me, that believe a lot differently than me. But man, they love like nobody I've known. They care about people deeper than I do. Sometimes I feel guilty about the ways in which they give and give and care about people. And yet, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to be loving. I'm the one that's supposed to have the good news. I'm the one who is supposed to be giving of all of I have because of what Christ has given to me. Sometimes being a good listener means you really need to wrestle with what the hills are that you want to die on and what are ones you need to let go, because some of our hills just aren't that important. Sometimes loving our neighbors and being a good listener requires us to let that person live exactly whatever way they are living, even if you don't agree with it at all. Whew. Should I say that again? Sometimes love requires us to let someone live in exactly whatever way they are living, whether you agree with them at all. No one really cares what you know until they know that you care. That's the old adage, right? Have you guys heard that? No one knows, no one cares what you know until they know that you care. And guess what? They might also even know something that you don't that might help you live better. It can be super tough to let someone live in a way that you disagree with fundamentally. But that is not your job. One of the other sayings we use at Dat House is that there's only one Savior and I'm not Him. I'm going to love people and I'm going to care about them and I'm going to walk with folks. But it is not my job to convince somebody. Sometimes people might be living in a way that seems hurtful. And that's when it gets tricky, right? If you think that someone is living in a way that is hurting themselves or others, we feel compelled to call it out, right? We don't want folks to be hurting themselves or others. And that is challenging, and that challenges me every day. There are so many instances when I wonder if it's a time to speak up or it's a time to be quiet. But sometimes people are living in a way that you think is hurtful based on your beliefs. It might not actually be hurting themselves or others. But again, back to our preconceived notions, we think it is. It's really important to call out ourselves first. It's really important to give ourselves grace. It's really important to give grace to others and to give grace to ourselves. Should I have called that out or not? I don't know. Grace. There's only one Savior, and it's not me. Grace. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to do was in that situation, but I choose love. I choose grace. Like Daniel said 2 weeks ago, you have two ears and one mouth. Let's err on the side of being good listeners. We have so many neighbors in our neighborhood who are post-Christian. Our community is full of people who have been raised in Christianity and have almost no interest in it. None. They were hurt by people. They affiliate with the church, and they're done. And I will tell you, because I have been dedicated to being a person who will listen, who will offer grace no matter what, I have had more conversations about faith with these folks than I can even count. Do they consider themselves Christians now or yet? Probably not, maybe some. But they know that they have someone who is a Christian, who cares about them, who will listen to them, and who will let them explore and wonder and seek truth. We have every sort of neighbor in our community that you can imagine. I'm sure you probably do too. We have neighbors who are Protestants, Catholics, Jewish, Muslim, post-Christian, conservative, liberal, black, brown, white, hetero, queer, and trans. We've got it all. The full spectrum. Maybe you thought of a category that I didn't. Probably that too. We have really, really low-income neighbors. We have really, really wealthy neighbors. I know some wonderful people that if I gave you some short facts about them, you'd think, nope. You would check them off your list as one to exclude. It could have been one of those categories I mentioned. You know, any of them could have, depending on your own beliefs, any of them might have disqualified them. Catholic, Muslim, Jewish, conservative, liberal, black, brown, white, hetero, queer, trans. One of those might disqualify. But I'm telling you, I know folks in all of those categories that would just die to help someone. I know some of the most wonderful people that fit those descriptions, that are the most caring, wonderful, loving folks I've ever met. You might be shocked by their beliefs, but they love in action and in truth. Loving others requires that we admit to ourselves that there's no way we can ever understand fully another person's lived experience. See, that's the real thing about listening and about loving others, is that we don't know what got somebody to the point where they're at. They have a whole book that their life is filled with, and we're entering into chapter 35. And some of the chapters before have convinced them that whatever you have to say ain't gonna work, whether you're right or not. They may have learned in chapter 22 that Christians aren't trustworthy. Whether that's true or not, they learned that, and they need to experience the love of Christ. I'm going to say it again, that loving others requires grace. It's worth repeating twice. Grace for others, because sometimes the way that they are living might be harmful. Sometimes you might just think it's harmful because you think differently than them. And grace for yourself, because knowing the difference of whether to speak up or whether to just love them through it is hard, is challenging. It is something that we approach with fear and trembling, and sometimes we get wrong. I'll guarantee it. But Jesus has grace for even us, for even that. because he wants us to first and foremost love our neighbors. Love requires us to be uncomfortable. Love requires us to be wrong sometimes. Love requires us to be co-laborers in community and not saviors. I think some of the best work that I've done in community over the years have been projects that I have not been in charge of. Getting to be in partnership with your community and to love mutually with each other is one of the best gifts I think the church can offer to our neighbors. We don't always have to be in control. The programs don't always have to be in our building. The programs don't always have to be something that has a certain focus. But being in community and loving one another and helping each other know the best way to live mutually, I think, is what love requires of us. So, was that heavy enough? It was for me, and it is for me. I think oftentimes, what if I'm wrong? I challenge myself almost every day. What if the way that I'm loving my community isn't enough? What if I should be challenging others more? What if I should be questioning the way they live more? It's not easy. It can be hard, and it'll cost you. But I promise that loving our neighbors is good news. It is the gospel that Jesus has called us to. It is the way of Christ. We are called to love in action and in truth. And it really is as simple as being good listeners. You can't truly love somebody if you don't know them. And you can't know somebody if you don't listen. Sometimes it may be confusing. Listening to folks who are really different from you almost always is. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with folks where I have to say, I just don't understand. But we can take confidence in the words that John gave us. The one whom Jesus loved, he left us with this. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. May we love in action and in truth. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for who you are and who you've called us to be. God, we want so desperately to love our neighbors, and we want them so desperately to know the goodness of who you are. God, we know that life is complicated. God, teach us that we are all coming from a different perspective. We're all coming from a different worldview. We all have these different points that we're at. We're all on a faith journey, whether we even know it or not. God, I pray that you would help us to love so well that our neighbors invite us into these conversations where we can go deep, where we can discuss true life, where we can discuss what really matters about how we're living and how we can grow together. God, I pray that we would love so well that we ourselves would be challenged to grow and that our neighbors would be challenged to grow with us. God, I pray that we would just give of ourselves in such a way and that we would give grace to ourselves and others. God, teach us, lead us when those moments are, when we say something, when we speak up, and when we just simply listen and love and care for our neighbors. God, we ask that you would give us a pure heart so that we would know you and that so that we could love like you because you are love. Teach us, lead us. We want to know you. We want to see you. We're so thankful for your love. We ask that you would just fill us with every breath and with every step. God, we want you. We want you to fill our lives and our places wherever we go. And we know that the way to do that is through love. Because you have taught us that love is more powerful than hate, and that life is more powerful than death. May we relish in that this morning, and may it lead us wherever we go. It's in your name we pray. Amen.